steps out of trouble.
Wow.
Lost to a wide open receiver. It's Cobb towards the end zone. Touchdown.
Goes down the middle.
This is Clint Sterner, and you're listening to The Morning Rush.
Hour number three of The Morning Rush coming at you, going to the phone lines, welcoming in former Arkansas quarterback and current host of Clint Sterner and the show down in Houston on Sports Radio 610. Clint, good morning. Thanks for making some time for us, man.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me, guys. It's been way too long. How you boys doing?
He left out the most important thing on your resume, former Morning Rush host. I mean, that's like
that's right.
Right up at the top, right, Clint?
That's right. That's right. Top of the resume, baby.
How you doing, buddy?
Man, I'm doing good, man. Life is good. I can't complain. I mean, I know it's easy right now with what our country's going through, but I can't complain, man. Life is good.
Clint, we had your former teammate and one of your good friends, Anthony Lucas, on about a month or so ago, and we were asking him like the correlation between the movie Greater and how your guys' season actually went in 98 and the mindset of that football team of you guys like coming in, not wanting to give up on the season with the new head coach, and in a lot of cases where some new head coaches come in, they play a lot of younger players. And he said the whole mentality of that team was coming together. Clint, looking at this team with Sam Pittman in year number one, what is your biggest piece of advice on how this team needs to rebuild under year one of Sam Pittman?
Well, I mean, I've said this from the jump. You know, I think that this team is much more talented than what they've shown the country over the last couple of years. So first and foremost, I think the biggest part is just, one, it can be done. Turning the corner sooner rather than later. In fact, turning it overnight and in one season, it can be done. Don't waller in the struggles of the last two seasons. There's a lot more talent there than maybe the last two seasons have shown. I firmly believe that. And you just got to put your blinders on and go back to work, man. And you got to have a little luck along the way. I think that's the one thing in 98 when we turned the corner, we didn't know how good we were as a team, but we trusted in the system. We trusted in the coaching staff. And we went out there and one game, every win gave us more confidence. And you looked up and about four games in, you go, man, we're a pretty confident group. And then you get to thinking that you're actually talented and you're pretty dang good. And you belong in the SEC, and then from there on, anything can happen. So, I mean, look, there's a lot that goes into the formula to get these guys to turn the corner. But I think first and foremost, believing that you're talented enough to turn the corner, you're much more talented than what you've shown in the last two years. I think that's the key message out of the gate when they do get back together.
Clint, there's a lot of games this past season, a lot of drives this past season, really the past two seasons that you can be irritated by. But I think when you go back to last year, one of the most irritating statistics that you see is that Treylon Burks did not have a touchdown. And I know you're really high on the guy. What do you think he's going to be in Kendall Briles' offense in year number one?
Man, I sure hope he's big time. I hope Kendall figures out a way to get him touches consistently. And, if I know Kendall, I mean, look, I'm a Texas guy. I know his dad. I've watched him, you know, ever since he became a coach, and watched him at Baylor, watched him at U of H. You know, I know they didn't have a lot of success at Florida State, but that's a different monster out there. So I got to believe that if anybody can find a way to get certain receivers the ball, it's if his last name is Briles, you got a pretty dang good chance. So, you know, I think that Treylon Burks is a guy that I'm blown away with his ability in the return game, as well as really, he's one of those guys that any time he touches the football, whether it's the jet sweep or it's some kind of, you know, Darren McFadden wild hog type of situation, or it's in the receiving game. I think it's in college football, that guy's the most valuable guy in the game, and you got to find ways to use him, not just in the pass game, but just throughout the four quarters in different ways in your offense. He's got to be the key cog, man. I know that's difficult when you got a Felipe Franks, you got a Keem Boyd, those kind of guys, but, man, Treylon's special.
I want to ask you about Franks. Have you spent much time watching him on film? How much have you seen Franks play?
Yeah, I've seen him play a lot, man. I'm on film, not in person. He was one of those. Him and Kellen Bond, the two guys, Tommy, early when they first got to Florida and A&M, respectively. I saw him throw one ball, and you're like, that's the guy. Unless he's just a mental midget and he can't understand a college football playbook, then that's your guy. Just physically, the way that they stroke the football allows them to make every single throw, from the real quick sidearm bubble to his right or left, just a little quick little swing route to his right or left, or driving the comeback on the sideline, or the deep ball over the middle, whether it's the post or the go route. He has the ability it's all arm talent, really, to be completely honest with you, but just his stroke is, I call it a power stroke. It's one of those that, man, it's supreme control. All the greats have it. And when you watch him throw with those two guys, I guess it was about 3 or 4 years ago when I first saw them, I said, Kellen Mond's going to start at A&M and have a decent little career, and Felipe Franks should be the guy in Florida. And it was all because of their physical mechanics and ability to toss the football around. So, man, I'm excited about that guy more than any of them, because I think Arkansas had some serviceable guys over the last few years, and Ty Story, Ben Hicks. But when you look at what they have now, Felipe Franks is a difference maker physically. I don't know what he is mentally, but physically, he's a difference maker.
All right, so break it down for us, because you look at it a little bit different. You coach quarterbacks, you study quarterbacks. What is it with his footwork, his arm mechanics? Give us some of that high-level stuff that you're able to talk about here.
Well, he's a full-body guy. You get a lot of guys that have a big arm, but they move like Gumby. They don't really transfer power from the ground up. So he's a little bit on the, I call it rigid, which that's a positive to me. A lot of coaches say that's a negative. For me, I want my guys to be a little bit rigid. I want them to be able, when they push and their push turns to a rotate, I want all that to be tied together. I don't want it to be Gumby. I don't want it to be a real twisty action. And then obviously the ball control is key, Tommy. I mean, you got a lot of guys that can spin it around the park, but it's like the ball is on the end of a wet noodle, and they're generating a lot of arm speed, and the ball comes off their hand well. That's typically hard to control. When you talk about Felipe Franks, he has great ball control. If he needs to lift the ball right now, like say it's a screen or maybe it's one of those shallow crossers, and he needs to lift the ball right now, get his release point real high, and snap the football out, he has the ability to do that. If he needs to reach back and sidearm one, pull the old Pat Mahomes, then he has the ability to do that as well. He has great ball control. And the last thing, Tommy, is he has a power snap. I think that's the one that's a big difference between baseball and football, and it's a huge difference between whether a kid has it or doesn't have it, and he has a power snap. It's Aaron Rodgers. You've all seen Aaron Rodgers throw the ball. He's the most powerful snapper of the football on the planet with two legs. I mean, it's amazing what he can do. And if you have that snap, maybe not the Aaron Rodgers snap, but if you snap the football out of your hand, you got a strong wrist, then you can pass the football at a high level.
Clint, it's Clay. When you played, it looked like you were in perfect rhythm with your wide receivers, and y'all could make eye contact and knew the route that y'all could change to, and it was an effortless flow to how y'all ripped up a defense. In the systems that I see now, it's all about the coordinator making the calls at the line of scrimmage and communicating that situation that y'all seem to do just in an innate way. And have they gotten enough time yet to be where they need to be to get to where, say, you and Luke were and your other receivers? What they've happened in the last 3 months, is that going to wreck their progress?
Well, I tell you, it definitely makes it more difficult. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But to me, what the reason that Anthony Lucas and I, and Mike Williams, and Emmanuel Smith, and Boo Williams, and Jodine Davenport, and Al Herringer, the reason that we were, as you said, we just seemed to, I mean, we saw the game through the same lens, I mean, we had thrown literally, Clay, you were around, man. I mean, Joe Ferguson told us, look, guys, we're going to throw 4 days a week in the summer. If you're here and you're in summer school, we're throwing 4 days a week. And I'd say, okay, we're going to throw at 4 o'clock. when I showed up at 4 o'clock, Anthony Lucas and the entire receiving corps was there. I mean, they were already to the point where they were stretching and they were warming up, where I mean, they had shirts off and ready to rock and roll. It wasn't walk up and everybody drinking on water and talking to some gal on the phone and playing some video game on the iPad in the corner. You know, there was none of that. I mean, and so the reason that we were able to be so good in the pass game, sure, the offense was good. Sure, there was a lot of talent at the receiver position. But ultimately, we saw the game through the same lens. We stayed on the field, whether it was practice or summer. If Anthony Lucas ran a corner or Anthony Lucas ran a comeback and I missed him, then we lined up and did it again. If coach didn't let us do it again, then we stayed at the practice and did it again. And I just don't know that exists as often. I don't know if that is as common now as it once was. These kids have so many distractions that I got to believe the biggest hurdle for this coaching staff is to get these guys to put the phones down, forget about the girls, forget about your problems at home, and get on the field consistently throughout the week and put the work in that's necessary. The ones that can do it, they'll separate themselves like never before. But it's not as common to do that. And that's all I know. That's why Anthony Lucas and I had so much success. It's because, I could dang near throw to Anthony blindfolded. It wouldn't matter what route it was. We had done it so many times in practice and through the summer that it didn't matter. So, yeah, this time makes it hard, Clay, no doubt about it. It makes it hard for all of us to do our jobs. But ultimately, man, I mean, if those guys are putting that work in with Felipe and maybe three receivers, then we should see it on Saturdays if and when that happens.
We're talking with Clint Sterner here on The Morning Rush. Clint, you mentioned your rapport with Anthony Lucas. Was it a particular game, a particular a practice? When did you know that you were going to have chemistry with this guy?
Well, every day at practice. I mean, there was no – I don't know if there was any one moment, but Ty, I knew early, man, because Anthony and I, we beat to the same drum. I mean, we're never satisfied. Hard will never fail you for hard work. I mean, that's not a problem. Effort's not a problem. And ultimately, Anthony understood that if I was asking him to stay after and throw with me or come in the summer and throw with me, because I didn't feel comfortable with something. And Anthony knew that if I didn't feel comfortable, it was going to affect his game. And us being on the same page was the most important thing. And I knew that from an early stage of our careers together. Is I realized, obviously, Anthony's extremely talented. Don't let me forget to tell you that. I mean, obviously, he's unbelievably talented. But, man, I just – the hunger, the desire, the love to be on the practice field and the willingness to just – I mean, unbelievable work ethic made it very easy for a quarterback like me, man. I knew if I didn't make just a terrible – like, I could afford to make a bad throw and he would make up for it. I had to minimize my mental mistakes. Don't throw into double coverage. You know, don't miss 5 yards inside. You know, make sure you hit him in line or out over his outside shoulder. And he made me look good, man. But look in all of our in radio right now. When you get a guy that just grinds through it and gets all the audio chopped up for you, man, and the rundown's right, and when mistakes are made, he cares. He wants to listen. He wants to learn, or he wants to coach. I mean, that was Anthony. You know, that he wasn't the guy that when we went to work or when we failed, just laughed and giggled and went to the sideline and you know, chit-chatted with his buddies or just went home after practice. He cared and stayed after and went to work. And that's – when I get that right there, man, I don't care if it's radio business or football, I'm going to grind with him and we're going to have success.
Clint, I thought you brought up a good point talking about distractions, whether it's social media, video games, and on and on and on. These kids – different from when you were playing, have a lot more to deal with. That's not to say that should be an excuse or anything, but the biggest distraction right now, Clint, is the coronavirus and everything going on. And I know when you think about college kids, good-looking young men that want to go out and have a good time with females or just be social or whatever, and now they're being told, hey, you can't do this. Clint, as a former college player that never had to go through this, but I want to get your perspective. How do you think players are adjusting to this, them being told, hey, you can't really be social in a time period of their life when, man, that's all they really want to do right now?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that's That's the big question. It's clearly we're not doing it very well, because down here in Houston, it's blowing up. It's spiking again, I guess is the right way to put it. And I think a lot of that has to do with, man, when you open the bars and the clubs back up to 50% capacity or whatever it is you do, then I think we invite, it's not the kids, it's all of us. Human nature is, oh, okay, well, we're good, let's move on. And then the next thing you know, it spikes again. So I think it's a moving target for any of us to get it right. So I don't want to single out the kids, but when it's all said and done, man, it goes back to what I said from the jump. The guys that are disciplined enough to and care enough to go, dang it, I'm not good enough, I need to get better, I've got to stay and get more work, I got to get my grades right. The guys that care and it matters, and ultimately what they want to do is win and be successful in school or football or, heck, thumb wrestling for that matter. I think those guys, for the most part, as back in the 90s when I was there to today, those guys will mind their P's and Q's and be coachable for the most part. But as a whole, man, it's hard to keep them cats under wraps, man. I can't imagine what Coach Pittman's up against when you got 100 of them that you've got to try to corral, and now you've got coronavirus shaking everything up, man. So, you know, I don't want to single anybody out because I don't think any of us are doing a good enough job at this point in time.
So what is the feel? You're there in Houston. The numbers are on the rise there. They're same issues, particularly in Northwest Arkansas and in Arkansas, but across our state. As testing's increased, we've seen 500 to 700 cases, many days of positive tests. What's the feeling there in Houston, Clint? Are we going to play football? Is there going to be a delay? I can't imagine the state of Texas with no high school, college, or pro football, and how they would cope with that situation.
Yeah, Tommy, I got to believe that they're going to figure out a way to make it happen. I mean, one is we've got, you know, you got a month before they, I guess, late July, as training camp starts or cranks up, and then I would imagine they've already canceled the Hall of Fame game, the first preseason game in the NFL. I would imagine that they would adjust in some way, shape, or form with the other preseason games. Heck, man, you know, they've been trying to minimize those numbers, the number of games in preseason anyway. This may be a great time for the NFL to make an adjustment and see if it works. But, you know, so I think they buy a couple of months there, and I think by that time we will be further along in understanding of, you know, how we cope with it, how we deal with it, how they treat it, you know, how they immunize, you know, is there immunization out there? I just think that we're so far out that right now the feel is here that absolutely they're going to find a way to play. Now, fans may not be in the stands, but they're going to find a way to make it safe enough to where two football teams at the NFL level of the right age group, males, can get out there and compete and make the money. There's so much money involved. Everybody I talk to says there's no way in hell they don't figure it out.
Clint, before we let you go, man, with Cam Newton, I know that you're going to spend the majority of your time on your show today talking about him signing with the New England Patriots. What are your thoughts on that, and do you think it's going to work out for him out there in Boston?
Man, it's interesting because I'm sticking to my guns. I think Cam Newton's done, man. I just don't, after watching that Week 2 performance versus Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year, and really just the way that, you know, there was three or four throws and critical moments in that game where he just one-hopped the receivers. And I don't know if that's a result of his foot. I don't know if that was a result of his shoulder or the you know, he had done a lot of work on his mechanics. But nonetheless, when I saw that game, I just thought, man, this is the end of one of the best quarterbacks, you know, athletic quarterbacks to ever play the game. So I'm going to stick to my guns that he's done, but it's an interesting topic, man. He's, you know, does New England adjust their offensive style? Do they go hire Gus Malzahn? I'm just joking. However, do they go to, you know, to that style of offense where they're running in downhill more, or do they really try to put the square peg in a round hole and get him to do Brady, Tom Brady type thing? I don't think either one of those are very likely. And I love Jarrett Stidham, so I think Stidham ends up being the guy in New England, and Cam Newton's done. I'm sticking to my guns on that. Well, we're gonna slice that up six ways this Sunday today, though. There's no doubt about it.
Former Arkansas quarterback, host of Clint Sterner and the Show in Houston, and former host of the Morning Rush, Clint Sterner, joining us this morning. Clint, do me a favor, stay in Houston, and don't come back and take my job, man.
Never, man. No chance. You host, boy. Y'all are a different breed now. Y'all be good, brother.
Appreciate it, Clint.
See you, Clint.